Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
I'm not hearing you. Hang on just a minute. I don't know if it's your problem or ours, but this is Kevin, and Kevin can't hear me either. So hang on one second here. We'll see if we can get him squared away. Good morning. It is the Brown Briefly, and if I can ever get Kevin on the radio here, hang on one second.
Kevin's our host.
Okay,
this
Kevin,
morning.
You can hear us, but we can't hear you. Well, let's see why. There's mute. Ask to unmute. Oh, it says ask to unmute. Try that. You're not showing you're muted, huh, Kevin? Huh? Is your mic hooked up? I'm wondering. Nope, we still don't hear you. We don't hear you. Well, I don't know what is going on here. Well, I'll tell you what.
Should we try to fill in a little bit until we can get to
talk amongst yourselves and I'll see if we can figure out what's going on here.
Well, I'll say good morning for Kevin until we can solve this. And that was the voice of our founder, Brian Brown. Kevin is trying to reach us remotely, and in the studio we have Gail Kellner.
Good morning, everyone.
And our pilot of the airwaves, Truman O'Brien, and I'm Lynn Kerrigan. And Zoom is such a magic thing. We've been able to keep the Brown Briefly going throughout that whole pandemic, but now and then we have technical errors that Truman is usually able to solve within
actually,
a few minutes.
I think this one actually is... No, he's saying it's all good on his end. Well, doggone it, we certainly have him. He should be coming through here.
Well, Lynn, let's pick up and at least start the program. I know that Kevin sends us out a little brief outline of what we'll be talking about, or as each of the hosts do. Looks like, oh, great, we've got him. Coming on the phone,
not yet,
perhaps.
We might. Just hang on one
second. All right.
You guys talk amongst yourselves.
All right.
Okay. Lynn, what's our first topic that Kevin...
Well, I guess,
Kevin,
you know, often we talk about the Vachon week and kind of how we're doing with what we've done on Vachon. And I guess I would just say I was a little bit late getting to the studio this morning because there's a huge branch that came down from one of my fir trees that was right between my mailboxes and my driveway, and I had to get that moved so that I could even get out of the driveway to be here. That was some storm, and I hear the Coleman dock is still down to one slip. Somebody hit the ferry dock really hard.
Oh, in the storm.
Yeah, so the Coleman dock in downtown is still, because of the storm, is still down. And I'm asking, how was your weather?
Well, it was windy down on the water, certainly, and so unusual to have this kind of weather in early April. It's something we'd expect to see in November, even maybe in March, but beginning of April, I was unnerving to me personally, just because I've lived here and my entire life have had a connection to Vachon in the Northwest. So what normal is I'm very tuned into what normal is, and April, though it can be wet, it can be cloudy, even a little chilly. It is generally speaking a mild month, and we certainly don't have big windstorms.
I was fine with it early on, you know, in this week, and I kept thinking about April showers, bring May flowers, all that. And then I converted it in my mind to April extreme weather and how to make that rhyme into a song.
That's certainly taking a positive view of things.
Well,
is it Kevin? Okay, I got you.
Sounds like Kevin is about to come online.
I'm going to have your picture on.
Well, Looks like they're working on it. Lynn, what are you looking forward to this week coming up on Vashon? Is there any events or activities you've been following? Or?
No, I've been obsessing because it's tax week and I have to have a lot of medical appointments and get ready to go uptown. Well, it's tax week for me because I have to go up and help my daughter out when she has surgery next week. So I'm kind of agonizing. All right.
Okay, I think we may have Kevin. Kevin, let's give you a try.
Test 1, 2.
Hey, three, there you are, loud and clear.
Okay, awesome.
Thank you, Truman.
Yeah.
Hey, glad to be joining you from through the magic of the telecommunications line. And thank you, Truman.
Oh, you have to get that away from your. You have to get that.
That's mine, honey.
Oh, that's yours.
It is.
Oh, well, we were getting it. We were getting feedback there. Go ahead and try it again, Kevin.
I have to turn it up a little. I can't hear them all.
Yeah, I've got my audio muted coming from my laptop.
Okay, yeah, you should be okay.
My audio input muted on the Zoom, so we should be good to go.
Well, hold on, we have a mic problem here. So
no, it's a headphone trouble.
No, please let me ask this question. If Gail raises her microphone level, it's blasts me out.
Well, it's because it's not her microphone, it's her headphones, and she's got the wrong one. You just have to search for the correct one there. Sorry.
Do I have
Leave those headsets on and just use a different slider. Use a different slider, and you'll find your...
Okay,
sorry, folks.
Folks who are wondering what is going on, this is coming back to me in a flash. We've been zooming into the studio, but now we have multiple people in the studio. And when you need to adjust your microphone volume, there's a central box that has multiple switches on it, and it's almost a random guess which switch will adjust your microphone. And so as Gail is working to adjust her microphone, she's actually adjusting Lynn's headset.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Oh, folks, that can be exciting.
It can. Yeah. Lynn was, her eyeballs were bulging up because Gail was running her volume up.
It's a little like the monkeys that they talk about writing a Shakespeare.
That's right.
If you tap enough keys.
All right. I think we have the technical glitches fixed.
God bless you, Truman.
All right. Let's keep going here. Here we go.
Okay. So I think you know that all the names you've heard, in addition to mine, Kevin Jones, your host this week, is Truman O'Brien, Lynn Kerrigan, and Gail Kellner. And we are absent our Guardian of the Galaxy this week, it looks like, unless Bruce is trying to connect.
No, he's not. He's not.
Okay. Very good. Well, hey, you guys already had a chance to check in while Truman and I were scrambling. But Truman, while you and I were hovering over the electronic controls, you maybe haven't had a chance to let people know how your week is going so far.
Well, I tell you what, I had a pretty fun week. I should say weekend. On Friday, I flew out to Minneapolis, and I met one of my buddies from Vietnam. And I stayed with him, and we went to a Sounders match, which I have never been to.
Ooh.
And didn't really know much about, didn't know what, I tried to look up the rules of soccer once, and it was like looking at Webster's Unabridged Dictionary. I mean, that's what the rules book is like. It's amazing, all the variety of rules. And so Ken, my pal, used to be a referee. And so, of course, he knows all the rules. So we before we went to the match, we sat down and watched the British Premier League. And he kept saying, okay, now this is what's happening here, and this is what's happening. So by the time I got to the Sounders game, I understood what they were doing. It was great. I will say it was 39 degrees, so it was a little chilly. But it was fabulous. Anyway, I flew home on Sunday, had a wonderful weekend.
You know, I've read the rules of baseball at least partially because they are voluminous as well. But you'd think that soccer would be like you kick the ball, it does or doesn't go in the net, right?
No. Oh, way complicated.
Okay, well, the human endeavor applied to any problem results in fascinating complexities. So that much we
That's a good word for
That's
it.
Good. That's good.
That's what I'll say to somebody the next time I feel like punching them in the face. You know, I realize I can't punch people in the face, but I feel like it, and I need to have those kind of words for diversion in my own mind.
Here you go.
Such a complex situation.
Okay. Well, hey, Gail and Lynn, I'd want to presume that you've had a chance to fully let people know how your week has been. So anything to add to the dialogue that you had at the head of the show?
Well, Lynn is preparing taxes, I'm happily watching my peas grow in the garden. So things are up and going. I got some wonderful starts down from one of the farm stands on the island here, and they are happily beginning to climb the terrace. And the hills around us are with soft green with the opening of the new leaves. And we should all prepare for the oxygen spike that's about to envelop us, which is wonderful. But as the deciduous trees come into full leaf, the oxygen levels actually rise significantly. And that is one of the reasons we all overcommit ourselves in the spring. So between the longer days and the higher levels of oxygen, we tend to rev up.
Oh, is that what it is?
But don't forget the pollen as well.
Yeah. Oh, that's immediately what I thought.
Yeah. If there's any left after yesterday's windstorm.
Yeah, no kidding. Isn't that the truth, man?
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, the weather is reminding us the clock has got spring. You know, it's here. We're full ahead into spring, and I'm curious how many weather changes y'all experienced yesterday. It was pretty amazing.
Oh, something, yeah.
Everything, wasn't it? I thought it was about to sleet once.
Well, we had hail, we had thunder, we had lightning, we had some amazing wind.
Sun breaks here and there.
Sun breaks, downpours. You know, if you don't like the weather, wait 15 minutes. You know?
The dogs and I kept trying to go out for a walk, and we'd get all bundled up and ready to go, and then we'd get outside and it'd be like pouring sideways on us, and I'd tuck back in, wait for the next sun break, and by the end of the day, we never made it very far, but the dogs would just look kind of curiously at me at the door, like, nah, this isn't really going to happen.
Are you sure about this? Yeah, I get that look.
Well, Kevin, what about you? You've been gone for a couple of weeks and traveling, and I want to know how you have been doing.
Oh, well, absolutely. You know, I was in search of that mythical but often true blue hole in the clouds in the Olympic Peninsula that Truman will know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do too.
In the beautiful seaside community of Squim, Washington.
I love that place.
It did. We stayed at the Wanda Fuca cottages, and, you know, occasionally you'd look out the window and there would be an eagle floating almost at your eye level, cruising the coast looking for lunch. It was sunnier Squim. We had plenty of days that had clouds and not very much. You know, when it rains in Squim, it's like, you know, 0.05 inches. It's like, you know, a heavy dew for a lot of it. I was able to do some hiking and found out the snow level on the peninsula is up at about 4,000 feet, which was very different from 2 years ago. And I was able to take my bicycle, so I was able to ride both out to Port Townsend and at Port Angeles on the Discovery Trail.
Oh, beautiful.
So that was really an awesome opportunity to get away for a couple weeks.
That's so great.
Tell us a little more about that trail.
The Discovery Trail, yeah, check it out. It's easy to find looking up on the internet. It runs from Port Townsend to the coast. And some of it is along the highway shoulder, so it's not quite like totally off-road. As a matter of fact, many, many sections do go along the roadside. But there, oftentimes they will find roads that are not heavily traveled. And there's a substantial part of it that is just paved bike track, which may have been a rails to trails conversion thing.
Right.
So, yeah, it's worth looking into.
Hmm. Sounds great.
Fabulous. I've taken a lot of refuge on inside activities, I guess I'll say, this last little while. And I just want to give a shout out to Mary Shackelford and Jim Burt for the blistering old-time music we got to play at my house on Sunday night. And right before that, I watched the Oscars. I'm sorry, not the Oscars, the Grammys. And I just want to say I was so impressed with so many of those presenters and the way they did the show. They said this is a concert with awards, not talking with some awards here and there. and it was fabulous. And John Batiste, I think, put on one of the best shows I've seen in a long time, who won 5 awards and best album. So he was just great. I just love that.
Mm. Nice. Well, I think this is a shout-out part of the show, actually, because I would like to do a shout-out to Kate Dowling's commentary on Beachcomber, which I thought was just, if you could put yourself on a roller coaster of words, I think Kate succeeded in 2 years of describing a global pandemic of COVID and what it meant to us and what it meant to her. I just wanted to thank, if you haven't had a chance to check out the commentary in this last week's Beachcomber from Kate, do check it out. Did Kate miss anything, those who had a chance to read it? Hey, Gail.
Well, I wouldn't say she missed anything. I'd like to also say I enjoyed reading it, and it was almost poetic in its form, and encourage others to enjoy it, and can find that in the Beachcomber. I would add to it COVID for some of us, particularly us introverts in the world, was a little bit of a relief. And I don't think Kate probably had that experience. But for some of us, the poets out there and the writers, the artists among us, for many of us, it was an opportunity to look inward, which is our favorite perspective. And I think the other thing that it did, that I don't know if she picked up on this or not, was some of the other upsides of COVID, such as just quieting ourselves enough to appreciate family, that the ones we were able to be in contact with. I think that certainly the environment benefited quite a bit from the experience of the pandemic, in slowing air traffic, as well as just the movement of cars and people in general, that has given the world a little bit of a break.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Absolutely. Yes, and let's see. There's another look ahead shout out. And let's see, Truman. Before I go on, any shout outs from you? You want to throw?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Okay, very good. Or Lynn?
Well, I just wanted to add to your nice shout out to Kate. For those who don't know, Kate is the, I'm not sure of her exact title, program
executive
manager,
director.
executive director of Voice of Vashon. So she is our boss. Pay us a little bit more, Kate, but she's done a great job coming in and keeping us going and fundraising and communicating about who we are and what we do. So I appreciate her anyway, not to mention that.
I can tell you that Kate is absolutely adored by our board. I'm a board member, and we think she is just the best. So I can't say enough great things about her. So there you go.
Awesome. Okay, so you've seen the string pulling to get into the good graces of the executive director.
I was going to say, I think Truman's looking for a raise.
That's right.
Which would be, at least for me, from anything. From zero to anything.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. Well, a future shout out, and this I'm you're going to hear it again next week. But a look ahead, noon a week from now. One of the other opportunities I had in SQIM was to talk to some of the organizers of what I call the SQIM success story. And if you don't know about the mayor of SQIM, who turned out, surprise, surprise, to be a QAnon advocate, you will look forward to hearing from the direct experiences of one of the women who was involved in the campaign to change that. And oh, by the way, this has gotten national attention. Newsweek magazine, The Nation, MSNBC have picked up this story. So it's going to be right here on Vashon with Real Talk, Susan McKee, at noon next week. You're going to hear it again, but just put it on your calendar now because you don't want to miss it.
One of those persons wasn't perhaps Emma. Was it? Our own Emma?
You know, I keep mentioning Emma Amiad's name when I'm in SQIM just to see how she's reaching out to the activist community.
Yeah.
But so far, I think she's enjoying some solitude.
Oh, are you talking about Emma Amiad?
Yes, yes. She moved to SQIM.
Famous community supporter and activist.
I was just checking on her. So.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have dropped her name liberally in SQIM just so people know to keep an eye out.
But, keep an eye out for her. That's right.
Exactly right. Well, hey, while we shift gears now, we talked about spring. Summer is next, And Rita Schenck, by the way, on April 10th at 11 o'clock, is going to be talking about energy independence and climate change. She's actually an energy independence expert. And if you're interested in hearing her, and you might very well be after this next piece on the Brown Briefly, the Unitarians of Vashon will be hosting that on April 10th, Sunday at 11 o'clock. Go to viuf.org/Sunday and sign up to listen to Rita, who is a doctor and very qualified to give this talk. So I hope you will take advantage of that.
Does Rita still live on the island?
I understand that she does.
Yeah, okay. Isn't she the one that was doing the little house thing where they were using the containers and they were shipping them to Africa?
You know, I don't know exactly all of what she's done.
I think there's
a long list.
Yeah, there is. Okay.
She was also instrumental in the public utility district.
Right.
On Vashon, right. Maybe now a little over a decade ago.
Right.
But as we move into summer, and in particular this conversation about climate change, I'd like to talk a little bit about opportunities and challenges for summer, because the key questions are, the background is the IPCC, which is a UN-based group looking at climate change, says we are on a fast track to climate disaster. Okay, that's a pretty eye-opening wake-up call statement. But also there's articles from the site that the American West is really at risk because of possible wildfires. And we've seen the smoke. We've seen that red orb of the sun setting behind the smoke, and we've had to deal with, setting up filters in our house. So what do we think we can achieve in terms of making sure that our summer season is safer and more enjoyable, given the climate threats that we have? What are the people talking about mitigation right now? Any thoughts about how Vashon Mori Islanders can improve the odds of an enjoyable summer weather, given this challenge we have with climate change?
You mean we're supposed to solve that right now?
Well, let me just throw out something. For example, we already talked about the fact that we now have a fireworks ban on that in King County.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think it's probably maybe helpful for us to say, hey, remember that Vashon Mori Islands is no longer a place for people to set off their private fireworks and risk setting a fire in either your home or in the palm of your hand or in the woods behind your house. So that's one thing I wanted to mention. But Gail, any other thoughts?
Well, I think it's one of those things that is so important as people to grapple with and understand that they can affect the climate. They do affect the climate in small everyday choices. So things, maybe won't directly affect how smoky it is this summer or that piece. It can affect the long-term climate outcome. And that's simple things like choosing to, if not completely stop air travel, at least limit the amount of air travel that you do. Limit the number of trips that you take in your car coming up to town to run errands. Try to keep it to once or twice a week. Things that we can do is simply stop, the consumer society that we have developed is consuming the earth itself. So just buy less is something that I think we can think about. And eat a more healthy diet as well as healthy for you and healthy for the environment. So if you're not ready to completely give up your barbecued meat, at least cut that back down to a few times a week instead of every meal. So sometimes we don't have to change completely, but we can take small steps that together make a great, make a great difference. So there are things we can do. We can also support local agriculture. I'm really looking forward to the opening of the Vashon Farmers Market later this month, and as well as our many wonderful farm stands. So plant some trees, get your garden in, learn to enjoy where you are and appreciate that as much as possible, and limit travel.
I totally agree. Ideas. Those are all things that make contributions. And to Lynn, to your point, yeah, it isn't our problem to solve. I wish I could, right? Because then we would be magicians. But collectively, it's our challenge to rise to the occasion to make a positive contribution.
There you go.
Lynn, so what are your thoughts?
That I can respond to.
Okay, excellent.
I know that for me around my house, thinking about being surrounded by trees and having been there 32 years without doing really adequate brush management, you know, I've been thinking about fires and trying to clear out some areas that have really not been touched for a long time and get wood and other debris away from my house and that kind of, and it's mitigation for me. And the other thought that I had as you were talking was the emergence of bicycles again, you know, in lieu of driving around everywhere. I've been trying to get my bike ready for this next season and try to make some of those shorter trips by bicycle. You know, that's what China does and some of the other places in the country and in the world. I think that we have hills, but I'm looking at routes that are less steep. So that's just kind of where my head is going.
There you go. You know, you mentioned, Gail, also fewer trips to town. I will drive to town, park my car, and I might have five places that I need to go, right? So I'll walk to the post office, and, you know, usually I can see what's going on at the theater with their new construction for that new thing that you guys talked about last week. I can swing by the bank. I can go and then, you know, pop into the grocery store. And my car sits in one spot while I'm doing all that.
Mm-hmm. I do that, too.
Yeah, so those are things that we can think about. And, Lynn, you mentioned the yard. You know, we've been here for 27 or so years. And initially, you know, the recommendation was don't take that woody waste off of your property because we're in a maritime environment and we don't have the risk of fires. And then, you know, two or three years ago, Bonnie Lake caught on fire. So it's like, I think we are changing. And I literally removed, like, a ton of dead trees from my property. And the thing is, you can take them to the transfer station. Don't burn them in your yard. Take them to the transfer station. Mm-hmm. They chip them up. They basically turn them into compost. And eventually, hopefully, if you filled out the survey, our friends at Zero Waste Vashon are inducing people to comment about a compost facility right here on Vashon. So that stuff never even has to leave the island. Gail, what do you think?
Yeah, I would just add to that. The only thing better than taking it somewhere to compost is composting it yourself, right there on your own property, finding a small spot, reaching out to friends and neighbors here on Vashon that have expertise in composting. There is a little something to it. But absolutely, you end up with wonderful soil for your garden and you sequester a lot of carbon in the process and avoid the burning of a lot of carbon by carting it around.
Yeah, and another use or way of dealing with that is permaculture, you know, trying to take some crates or some, you know, cut down rounds or whatever you have as brush, and then piling a load of dirt on top of it and planting on top of that and letting that all mulch down itself and become sort of beautiful raised areas for gardening. I have a lot of friends that do that. I'm thinking of Stephen Silla and Gordon Bell, who have really done some gorgeous landscaping using that type of permaculture.
All right. Hey, this is a way to get Vashon's rural going, right? I mean, people talk about us being a rural area, and some people say, well, semi-rural. These are the types of things interacting with our world and our landscape and our environment that that really bring out the cred for understanding how nature works.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, I have to ask you a question because I can't concentrate on anything else but your T-shirt that says Moose Drool.
Fabulous beer. Wonderful
what
beer.
The heck?
It's beer. Wonderful beer.
It's beer?
Yes.
Oh. Must we have.
Just, well, you never know when, over there on the peninsula where the beer comes from.
That's true.
Moose Drool kind of is a...
Let me rise to the occasion. So you get the full
effect. There you go. There you can see all of it.
The moose on the Moose Drool
I think my eyes aren't very good, but I think that moose is holding a mug of beer.
A multi-purpose moose.
There you go.
Yes. Well, hey, speaking of other climate-related things, and this is sort of a, bear with me, this has a couple of steps in it. The Burton Post Office is apparently going to close. And if you've ever been to the Burton Post Office, and you should, if it's going to close, you should go, because it is quaint. The other thing is, you'll notice, it is full of post office boxes, like, I don't know how many, a lot. And the post office in town has a lot of post office boxes, and probably not nearly enough empty ones for those folks in Burton. So I'm wondering, can we blame Louis DeJoy?
Yes, why not?
Gail,
well, I was going to say I like to blame him any chance I get, but on this one, I was kind of had my hackles up. I'm like, oh man, he's trying to shut our post office, and then I find out it's a dispute over rent or access for maintenance, and so I'm going to cross my fingers that someone is able to either help. Resolve that problem, or the parties involved can resolve it themselves, so that we don't have to see the closure of that very sweet building. And also, I mean, it means people not who live in that community can stay in that community, you know, have easy access to getting their mail and don't have to make another trip out for, you know, on a nearly daily basis to secure their postings.
Absolutely, and that saves another drive into town, as you were mentioning earlier.
Yeah.
Lynn, did you have I think you were leaning in. I don't know if you had a comment.
No, other than I have always thought it was a great luxury here to have two post offices here, and, you know, I'm not even sure if there's two zip codes.
There are.
Yeah.
Yeah, 013. That's Burton.
I did not know that.
Yeah,
see, I'm learning something every day.
Yeah.
So I just think we've been lucky to have some outlying additional services, and I was trying to be, I don't know, what's the word, fatalistic, I guess, about that post office closing, thinking, you know, I worry that we can go through a pandemic and all of these crises and assume everything can always stay the same. I'm really aware of how much on tenterhooks we are of the kinds of infrastructure or services, you know, that are in trouble. And yes, I hope we can maintain it too.
All right, and likewise. And, you know, read this in the paper, I think it was a letter to the editor this week about our friends on Maury Island who had a post office there at Bockton at one time, but now is no longer.
And us in Ellisport that had one of the original post offices that we talked about at the Chautauqua Assembly in 2017. Tiny, cute little clapboard house has the old sign up on it at the corner of 205th and Chautauqua.
Nice. Well, the mosquito fleet brought lots of things, including local small post offices for those communities. Yep.
They were the Amazon of the day.
Exactly. Hey, Gail, before we dive into our last topic of the day, and first of all, just a programming note, Truman, I do have an audio track. Do you have that already?
I do have it. I do have it queued up. Yep.
Thank you. Okay, before we dive into that last topic of the day, Gail, I think you offered a poem.
I did. This was in thinking about the world in general, but Ukraine in particular, we all watch with the broken hearts at the things that we see happening. So it's called Bring Back. Bring back the green trees and soft afternoons. Bring back fresh air and children in bloom. Bring back the swallows and the blue skies above. Bring back the world as it once was. Bring back the passenger pigeon, the eagle, the dove. Bring back summer days and falling in love. Bring back flowers, bring back the bees. Bring back the butterflies, bring back the ease. Oh, bring back the day when, oh, so many troubles were so far away.
Very good.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Any other comments about Gail's poem?
It's just so important to remember the beauty of our lives, you know, even in the midst of all of this and how tragedy. I wouldn't say always leads to comedy and vice versa, but it sure does lead to a lot of introspection and a lot of recognition for what we have and what we have had. And I keep thinking of Joni Mitchell. They paved Paradise and put up a parking lot, and here we are with another generation's worth of thinking about what has to happen to sustain us truly, not just the upper class, but all of us safely.
Well, you know, I listened to the versions of the Brown Briefly while I was on hiatus in Squim, and just will reflect back on that same conversation last week about how important, how first of all, we should expect lots of changes to come out of this massive pandemic, because that's what happens when pandemics happen. But I think we should also realize the world that we had 2 years ago, prior to the start of Kate Dowling's commentary in the Beachcomber. Hey, let me talk before diving into Ukraine, because I do want to go there. But Susie and I, on our way back from Squim, stopped at Capitol Hill, and I got my shingles vaccine, and we had a quick check-in with the doctor. And as we were waiting out on Capitol Hill, sitting in a parking lot, we noticed an eagle had flown up onto the top of an apartment building. And before that, there was another bird of prey. But this eagle sat up there for quite some time. And then the crows detected where the eagle was. And soon the eagle had dove off of the top of this apartment building and was flying through the trees that we were basically sitting in our car beneath. And this bird was literally like 30 feet away, huge bald-headed eagle. So it is tremendous that even in our urban environments, we're now seeing the comeback of that iconic bird that is a representation of our country. And another success story, right, in terms of environment and dealing with how humans interact with it.
That's so lovely. Thank you. And it also reminds me to read more deeply the article that's on the front page of the Seattle Times this morning, which is that it basically says please don't become so discouraged that you give up about the climate situation, that there are many changes and many discoveries being made right now around mitigation and remediation, and that we're a creative species that has a great spirit that can soar if we will and pull together instead of all of our petty little bickering. And yes. Kevin, if you would read the quote from Bill Moyers that you sent out in the in your outline, I think that's the perfect time for it.
Well, I would. I know, Gail, you wanted to make a comment, or should we move?
I was just going to say, you know, I have a book coming out April 19th. It's called Hope, A History of the Future, and it deals with this very idea, Lynn, and one of the reasons I wrote it was to help encourage people to see that there are solutions, there are answers, as well as like taking a honest look at what happens if we do nothing with regard to the climate crisis.
Yes, fantastic. We look forward to that for sure. So the quote, Gail, that you're referring to, Lynn, is regarding civilization. And I worked with a fellow who was reading, I think at the time might have been War and Peace, but some epic like that, who came into the office one day and says, you know, it is amazing the thin veneer of civilization that we have. And Bill Moyers, as we were looking for a quote, said, civilization is but a thin veneer stretched across the passions of the human heart. And civilization doesn't just happen. We have to make it happen.
And
what we're seeing on our television screens is a crisis that is deepening in Ukraine because of the aggression of one leader who is a dictator. And so is Bill Moyers right? Is civilization really only a thin veneer? And how can we thicken the veneer?
I would add that civilization is actually a thick veneer, but that I think it's an important one, and it's important that we do things like educate ourselves and our children in conflict resolution that doesn't involve violence, that we uphold these ideas of peace, these ideas of justice in the world, because only under those circumstances does a peaceful, just, verdant society deeply grow. And so I agree with him completely that we create that society, we create that culture, and it's. But I think it's thicker, and probably more a part of us than we realize. So,
yeah, Lynn.
And I would say to look at the root of that word, you know, the civil part. I think one of the wonderful things is that life is, what do they say, short, brutal, and nasty, something like that, and has been throughout history. And civilization is our intent to gather, to be stronger, and to gather and compromise about our differences so that we can enjoy the benefits of life, you know, clean air and shelter and adequate food. We can do that together. And we need to put aside, I think, all of the petty bickering that we do in our political systems right now. That's just destructive. And so I stand for civilization and, you know, hope that my own tendencies towards, you know, frustration and anger can benefit from what he said, that, you know, we all have to take a deep breath and try to find the positives in all these situations and work toward them.
Yes, and while we are here on a sunny day in a beautiful place on the planet, we know that others are not, and that there are ways for us to help to thicken the veneer of what they see on a day-to-day basis. Both CNN and CBS News both list wonderful opportunities to help those in Ukraine. You can search like CNN or CBS News Ukraine Refugee Support. Multiple organizations are helping those who are suffering right now. And if we had our Guardian of the Galaxy here, and let me channel Bruce for a moment, it's really a reflection of whether the world will reject colonialism and the ability of one country to basically walk in, take somebody's properties, and dispense with them as people. And we know that there's two opportunities locally on Vashon to hear that perspective. As we think about the tragedy in Ukraine, we can think about the tragedy of colonialism across the globe in many, many places, and some are very deep in every country's history, including ours. But Patrice Cullors, who's the co-founder of Black Lives Matter, Friday, April 8th, 7 p.m., Vashon Center for the Arts. And also, again, the Unitarians Pursuing Justice series starts Tuesday, April 19th, 6 weekly sessions, 6 p.m. Contact Tanya Roberts. Her number is 240-505-6110 or Tanya Roberts at CenturyTel.net. And to motivate us to realize, while we are in a safe and secure place, the people of Ukraine are living through what Talking Heads' David Byrne wrote in this song, Life During Wartime.
And before I play that song, which will close out the show today, I do want to tell you folks, go to YouTube and look up Ukrainian Now or John McCutcheon, who's written a song called Ukrainian Now, which is really, really gorgeous and tells a story. So here we go. See you all next week.